In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Last week, BT, that lasted about 5 seconds yesterday as the Giants yet again embarrassed themselves at home, getting pasted by the Bucs in a non-competitive football game. And the only thing really that I could give much thought to was this regime and how long now is it going to last. And you know, I've been a Dable defender and supporter and believing in them. And I still do believe Dable can be a good head coach, but for the first time, I'm really getting behind the idea and understanding the idea of it might be time to change the entire regime.
Well, Sal, I mean, if everything's not on the table at this point, what are we doing here? I mean, that was an absolute disgrace what the Giants did yesterday. I look at it this way. I actually have like three or four checkpoints written down when things go really wrong. Well, the first thing is, do you win? The answer is no. The second one is, do you really truly compete with like great identifiable vigor? No.
I mean,
the answer is no.
Absolutely not.
Do you appear to respect the authority of the franchise?
Nope.
And the answer is now clearly no. And do you now seem to respond to the messaging of the coaching? And the answer is clearly no.
Here's why I think too, BT, and we were talking about this a little bit before the show, but the reason why I'd be open to a change now, even though I feel like I still haven't gotten a proper evaluation of Joe, like I don't think you could evaluate any general manager in just 3 seasons, okay? I don't think that's fair to evaluate. Obviously, what we have seen has been awful, and I still at my core believe Dable could be a head coach and has been in certain aspects. Like a lot of the Giants' losses early on were competitive losses, but they're all losses. And now you look at it and it's gotten worse and worse and worse as it's gone on, whether it's losing to the Panthers, getting pasted at home by a Bucs team. Yeah, they're way better. But here's why. The timeline, again, is all convoluted. I begged and pleaded for this team when Shane and Dable took over to move on from both Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones. They didn't. For whatever reason, they didn't. They had immediate success, and that could be their biggest downfall because now, if you are to give them another year, it's almost going to feel like they have to take a quarterback. And would you think that that's a good thing to have to take a quarterback?
Yeah, that's an interesting point because do you start reaching at that point?
Well, right.
Now, the good news is I don't think they're going to win. They might win one more game.
And
the Panthers have the tiebreaker. Patriots probably squeeze out or weasel out one more win. I mean, no matter, Giants probably will be picking first or second.
Okay, well, we don't know how it's going to play. Like, I wouldn't be stunned if they played well on Thanksgiving. Who knows? I need to see it play out because you're right. Like, weeks ago when you brought up the word, well, I don't anticipate.
That was merit.
Yeah, right. But I was like, well, he basically gave them the vote of confidence, and that's it. But things have spiraled in the worst of ways here with this team. But if you're forced, and we talked about this, if you feel like you're forced as a regime to take a quarterback, you may reach, and that's not the right thing. And then let's say they do take a quarterback, even if it's not a reach. They take the guy they like. Well, then, so what? They have to have immediate success in year one? Otherwise, they're done. Like, that timeline doesn't add up either. So for me, it's either commit to this group beyond just next season, which sounds ridiculous at this point, but it's either that or just blow it all up and start from scratch with a new GM, a new head coach, and a new quarterback.
I'm already talking to Belichick is what I'm doing. I'm not wasting my time anymore with this. I mean, there's no more evidence needed. I mean, you think about the way this went from the Panthers game. Now, all right, so the Giants aren't very talented, so you can't, it's not like out of the Bills lost to the Panthers, and we're like, well, right. What, how the hell did that happen?
Well, I mean, the Chiefs almost lost to them yesterday.
Oh, that's true. So the Giants, but the way they lost, and out in Germany, yeah. And all right, now you have the bye week, and now we got the Tommy DeVito juice, and we've got the Daniel Jones situation, and some guys off the record, some guys, very respected ones, Dexter Lawrence among them, on the record, talking about the state of the team, full house, finally a sense of, you know, a little buzz around the Giants. Not that they're going to go on some ridiculous run, but for once, like, hey, can we have a little fun here? Can we beat a team, Tampa, that had lost four straight games coming in? Let's not get this twisted. Tampa was not playing good football. They had four straight losses. They came in, 70 yards down the Giants' throat, and they absolutely boat raced them with not an ounce of resistance. So you tell me, how much do the players respect the coach? How much do the players respect being Giants? How much do the players understand the mission? To me, there's almost nothing identifiable at this point, nothing tangible that I can point to and say, that's the reason I've got to keep these gentlemen.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
The defense should be better. The defense should be better. Like, it's one thing if you lose. It's another thing to get embarrassed, and they can't even score. Like,
they just stink.
Yeah, they can't score. Their defense is awful and overrated, all of them. Burns looks terrible. I mean, the ball hit his foot yesterday.
I know.
He has no awareness that the ball's on the ground. Like, what are you doing?
And think about what they invested. This is on Shane. Yeah. Think about what they invested for that pass rush that we talk about that's supposed to be their strength.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield doing whatever he wanted untouched.
Yeah, it was embarrassing. So the defense, even with one of the best players in the sport, as far as Dexter Lawrence goes, but the defense is brutal. The offense can't move the football. Neighbors running his mouth yet again. This is the type of stuff that gets coaches and regimes changed and fired. Like, I don't know how else to put it. Now, again, it's a very difficult thing because you want to make sure you're patient and you don't just quick trigger and keep changing things. That's not the way. You want to have some kind of patience and continuity for success, but it's not working here. It's getting worse, and because of their timeline. Like, had this team picked a quarterback, not Daniel Jones, I think it'd be a different story.
Mm-hmm.
Now that, like, so we're supposed to just give them a new clean slate and have them pick their own quarterback? Like, so if those are your two choices, and I think to me it is, to do it right, it's either stick with this regime that you believe in and let them pick their quarterback, whether it's this year or next year, whenever they find their guy, and then evaluate them, or just blow it all out now and then have everybody on the same page. New GM, new head coach, and go pick a new quarterback.
But here's what's extra damaging and worrisome to me. Now, you know where I stand. I just said I would call Bill Belichick. Now, that's not the most original thought. People have been saying Belichick's name for a while.
I wouldn't go there myself, but we could push that conversation.
Sure,
later.
Sure. And by the way, Belichick I'd call. Vrabel I'd call all the top ones, right? Meaning I would make calls because I'm interested in getting in a new regime here. If the owner is not quite yet there, and he really has strong beliefs in Dable, then I think he's got to come out today and say, hey, this guy's here. He's coaching. Because the team that showed up yesterday, they were not ready to play football. And once the game started,
I know.
They weren't ready to start the game, and they had no interest in competing as the game progressed. So all I could do is, from my seat, look at that and say, all right, this team has checked out on the coach. And if you have, you know, six more weeks of this type of stuff, the few positive, you know, young pieces in that locker room could be destroyed, which could
sounds like they already are.
Well, some of them. Not all of them. Some of them, for sure.
I mean, did you see, not only hear Neighbors, but did you see the look on his face? He's just like,
He's standing there like a six-year veteran who's, you know, bagging 115 catches a year. Like, what do you want from me? Ain't my fault.
Yeah. Dude, you're a rookie.
Rookie.
I mean, that's a whole nother.
But it's not. It's a whole other thing, but it's not. Because the freedom that he feels to do that, and there were some current concerns. They talked about this where, you know, Dable spoke to him during the interview, the pre-draft interview, like, hey, if you're not getting the ball early and you're not involved, you okay with this? And he was fairly forthright, and Dable's like, that's okay. It's a dog. I want that. And I understand what he means, but just the optics yesterday, like, you know, the Buccaneers could have scored 50 points if they wanted to. The Giants' offense stinks. It's awful. By the way, this is the worst Giants offense statistically provable in 25 years. The worst.
Think about it.
Phil, I think Dable was an offensive coach.
Phil didn't say it directly last week. Do you remember the question I asked him? After Phil was saying, well, you look, some guys, whatever the system may be, Minnesota, you go there, they're going to score points regardless. And I said, well, you didn't say that about the Giants. And then even his answer to that, he wasn't ripping them, but, I mean, he said it all when he was referencing the different systems that you're going to score points no matter what with these bright offensive minds. That's what the Giants should have.
Mm-hmm.
And whether Phil says it or not, we all see it. Like, it's not what the Giants, because they've had multiple quarterbacks. You know, you see Barkley on top of it go to the Eagles and play at an MVP level. The Giants had him and didn't come anything close to that. Daniel Jones, now other teams are going to want him. Who knows what's going to happen with him moving forward. But they, you know, with Daniel
McKinney,
Jones.
Look at McKinney's season.
Yeah, I
leads the league in picks.
Look, the Giants have not done anything right this year. Whether it's, look, you could talk about, good rookie class. Nonsense. I'm not seeing it. They haven't had a lead since October.
I know.
A lead in a game with in a league where there's parity all over the place.
It's Thanksgiving this week. Think about that.
I mean, so for
gross.
Me to say, like, I haven't seen enough of Shane, I believe in Dable. Here's the point, BT, I think, ultimately, and we'll get to the calls here in a second, 888-808-1019. The feel, the energy, it's gotten so bad, and it feels, and I hate to use this word, toxic, and that's just my word to describe when things go wrong. I don't know if it's toxic in that locker room or clubhouse or not.
How about broken?
Yeah, well, okay. I mean, look at the guys. They have no answer. Well, what's his name? Burns is saying we played like ass or whatever it may be.
I know.
You got, you got neighbors ripping the coach, saying it's not me. It's not the quarterback. What do you want me to tell you? I don't know anything, but it's not the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the play call. Like, all these guys are questioning everything here. They're getting ripped at home. They're getting mocked by Baker Mayfield. Like, they've changed quarterbacks. I don't know how it could get any worse.
The only way it could get worse is you have 25,000 empty seats.
Well, that's coming.
One of the final home games. Yep.
I mean,
that's the final nail when that happens.
BT,
it's really broken.
BT, it's Al on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. John is in South Plainfield. What's up, John?
Hey, how are you? You guys are 100% right about the team is just lost now. I'm a season ticket holder for 35 years. I get to the game at the normal time I get there. The parking lot was half full of what it usually is. The first third down that Tampa Bay had, the crowd was dead. I think there was 15 to 20,000 empty seats yesterday. And once again, I get to leave early because I just can't sit and watch it any longer. I don't know what the answer is. It's been too long. It was just an embarrassing.
John, I have a question for you. And I appreciate when you say you don't have an answer. I'm not even sure that we have the absolute answer. But the question that I have for you is, do you believe that this coaching staff can get it fixed? You believe in Dable?
I did. And now after a performance like this, I still want to believe in him because I think he has what it takes as a coach. But again, I don't think the players yesterday, I mean, we talk about the offense and how the offense has been so bad. The defense was just as bad as the offense yesterday and couldn't stop anything.
Yeah, and that can't be the case. And thank you for the call, John.
Thanks,
I agree with what you're saying. Like, a part of me still believes in Dable as a coach. However, we're at a point now, and with their timeline, the easy and maybe ultimately right thing to do is just start over again. Blow it up, start over again. Like, how you either have to commit to this regime long-term, meaning beyond just next year. There's no way, BT, for me, that it could be, all right, well, here we go. We're going to let this play out 1 year, and then what? Take your quarterback and expect what? With a young quarterback?
And then if it doesn't go well, then you fire him and you have somebody else coming who didn't draft the kid?
Yeah, no,
you can't do that.
That's exactly right. So I don't want that. So if I don't want that, then it's either keep this team, this regime, beyond just next year, or make the change now. And the way things have gone here, like, how could you, even if you believe in them to a certain extent, just go find somebody else. Like, you're going to tell me Brian Dable's going to be a better coach than Mike Vrabel, or whoever you want to throw that's out there. You can't.
No, I'm not doing that. I'm not prepared to do that. I think that Vrabel will be a home run. I think Belichick would be better. There's a couple, not many names. I don't think it's fairly thin out there with the coaching ranks. But when I first laid eyes on Dable, I don't mean when they'd show him up the booth with the Bills. I mean as the Giants coach. There were two things based on his resume and how he projects, right? There were two things I expected. Number one, an innovative, high-flying offense. It's the worst Giants offense in 25 years, number one. Number two, I expected a fiery guy who would command the room, and that would residually lead to playing with purpose, playing with poise, playing with passion. They don't even doesn't even look like they want to play. So to me, it's 0-2.
You know, I think you might have been right about last year where I was overlooking some of the damage potentially that was done with the stuff with Wink. And I do think it was Wink's fault, but sometimes those things, like they just not... They're not playing for him. I mean, I don't know how else to say it.
They're not. Then he took over the reins of the play calling, and it's gotten worse. I mean, that's indisputable.
Good God, it's infuriating. Angelo's in Ozone Park. What's up, Angelo?
Yes, how you doing? I finally got through to you guys.
Right. Thanks for calling, Angelo. What's
hey,
up?
Buddy.
I listened to everything you said, and you finally are saying things that I've been saying for the last 2 years. This GM... And this head coach and the complete coaching staff has to go. Hire Belichick. This guy can't make adjustments. He's the worst offensive coordinator since the one with a judge. And he's not, he was never coach of the year. They were lucky to win 5 games that year. So
well,
what has he done?
5 games. I don't mean to cut you off. To be fair, you know, we don't want to just pound on Dable here unnecessarily and make stuff up. Like, you are what your record says, and his first year was good.
Yeah, I still don't think he's a bad head coach. I just think this situation has gotten away from him. I mean, I don't know how else to explain it.
I know.
Like, I still, at my core, there are things like our first call reference that I still believe he's the guy and a good head coach, but it's just the actions aren't backing it up, and it's not just, well... Look at the quarterback. Well, you saw what happened with a quarterback change, and I'm not even blaming DeVito yesterday. I mean, he wasn't very good, but the Giants just got dismantled in every facet of the game.
Mm-hmm.
That can't happen. On top of losing to the Panthers, on top of not winning one of the Commanders games or one of the close games that they were, like, it just can't happen. And we talk about the disparity from a big picture thing, like, okay, even if they're competitive in some of these games, the disparity between the Eagles and where the Giants are. You saw the disparity between where the Bucks.
Yeah.
Well, a team with 4 wins coming in yesterday, and the Giants are, and it's massive.
A Bucks team who had lost 4 straight. I mean, it bears repeating there. I mean, I look at Dable, and there were a lot of people, and I understood this because, you know, I went back and forth a little bit as well, where you just felt like, this guy feels like the guy. He looks like the guy. The early results kind of, you know, underscored that he's the guy. And granted, maybe I bailed a little bit earlier than some, right? But if you are still, and I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I mean, I'm certainly not trying to get people fired. I wish it would work out with Dable and Shane. I really do. It doesn't look like it is. But if you are still pro Dable and Shane, like adamantly pro, to me, you're latching on to hope and nothing that they've actually done. Because the offense is not good. The defense is getting worse. There's been a very scattered draft, a draft board. And the morale and the chemistry and the respect is waning. So what exactly are they doing well? I would like the answer.
You can't do it anymore. As somebody who was doing it, and one of the reasons is I want some continuity here. Like, it's not always the right answer to just keep changing and changing, especially if you hired people that you truly believe in. And we did see them have some success
in
year one. However, it's gotten so bad that even if you believe, like I do, in Dable to a certain extent, what's the harm in trying to do it over again with a brand new, fresh, clean slate, which it feels like they need that in that building, and getting a new quarterback? Like, unfortunately for them, they didn't get the new quarterback 2 years ago when I said they should have. Mm-hmm. It would have been better to get the quarterback then, regardless of who it was, get rid of Daniel Jones, and maybe you don't win that first year, and you start to build up a little bit, as opposed to win that first year with Jones, then double down on Jones and have him for 3 years fail, and the team, along with it, getting worse and worse each step of the way.
They've made a lot of mistakes that have compounded other mistakes that have just made it worse and worse. You know, listen, you can watch the games, you can read the articles, you can listen to us on the station. To me, I lean on my eyes and I lean on my ears. And yesterday, my son had his best buddy's birthday party. It was big, like Super Bowl out at the park. It was great, right? And there was a lot of parents and a lot of Giant fans. When I said, I know them all from town, coach, baseball, everything, right? When I tell you that basically all of them were like, I don't even want to watch DeVito. I don't even care about this game. Like, the apathy, and I'm talking about 30, 40, 45 adults who are true blue forever. They don't even want to watch the games.
Down back on the Fan, continuing with your calls, 888-808-1019. It's just so depressing, BT, because yesterday was the first time I was actually really looking forward to watching the Giants. Even in a game where, like, you know the Bucs are better. Okay, sure, you know most people that the Giants play, they're going to be better. But I really was excited to see what DeVito and this new energized group can be. And it was even worse than before. It's not about Daniel Jones. Like, nobody's going to miss Daniel Jones. Sorry, it was time beyond time. But, man, to have that effort again at home with DeVito, that's as bad as it gets for me.
They're scraping lower levels than I think any of us could have imagined. It's getting worse. It's getting seemingly without a whole lot of direction. And that's when things start to change. And, you know, quite frankly, when there's a looseness that is evident, when and you sense that in, you know, guys not wrapping up, guys not pursuing plays hard, what they say in the media, even just, you know, their post-game presence. Like, the neighbor, he's a kid. I'm not going to go nuts on him, but the optics of him sitting there with the shades and just like he's a 7-year vet who's going to the Hall of Fame. Dude, yeah. I know you're very, very talented, but you're a rookie. And I'm not even sitting here saying, no, your place, rookie. I know it's a different day, but at least have a little bit of a sense.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and rewatch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Where you put the team before yourself.
Right. Two things from Neighbors that has bothered me here so far this year. Number one, I do think he's been selfish in a lot of those post-game scrums. Number two, would you say that he's been respectful of the head coach?
No. Absolutely. I don't think he has been.
Yeah, okay, absolutely not. Now, whether it's the coach's fault, like, we'll figure that out. The owners will figure that, whatever. Everybody will figure that out eventually. You as a player, especially a rookie, you can't be openly disrespectful like that. Mm-hmm. You can be frustrated with the losses and say, hey, I hate losing or whatever. But, like, I'm not just trying to pick on him, but it's every week with Malik Nabers saying something.
Yeah.
It's disrespectful and selfish at times. And for me, that reminds me of Odell Beckham Jr. when he did that years ago.
Yes.
With Coughlin.
Yes. But I feel like it didn't quite sound that way. I think Odell was different.
Nabers
like
sounds worse. Yeah,
that's
right.
What I mean.
Odell had silly actions more
but the
so.
Theatrics with Beckham were maybe a little more, waving the hands. I'm open. What's going on? Visible frustration, whereas, and unless I'm just misremembering, but I didn't feel like Odell's press conferences were post-game were as divisive.
Agreed.
Or as anti-coach. This is not good.
Disrespecting the head coach like that, it has gotten brutal for the Giants. Frank is in Hartford, Connecticut. What's up, Frank?
Hey, I just wanted to say that these guys have missed the boat. These players yesterday, they didn't play because they were pissed off because the Giants mistreated Daniel Jones. That's what I think. They don't care about playing for the Giants. They have no pride. That's why they don't win at home. They have no pride.
What about the prior 10 weeks?
I'm just telling you.
Oh, no, but I get what you're saying, and I could understand that to a certain extent, but the Giants were 2-8 going into yesterday.
Right.
It can't just be, well, they're mad because the way the Giants treated their buddy. I mean, the Giants have stunk with Daniel Jones.
Right, and he was the main reason. He was missing open receivers, in the flat, everywhere.
Yeah, but Frank, hold on. I'm sorry, Frank. What confused us is it seemed like you made it seem like they were doing well, and then, Jones got disrespected, and then they mentally checked out. What Sal's saying is they were awful with Jones, and they were even worse without him. So it's just basically continuing where they've been. It's like they fell off. They've been bad all year.
Right. And I think that they just disrespected the whole team yesterday, and that's why they came out flat.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry Frank, to cut you short.
Buddy.
But yeah, no, we got your point. Like, you could add it up to, wow, the way that they treated Jones, that led to the lackluster effort, if it weren't a putrid 10 weeks before that.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I don't think that Daniel Jones, although I would assume, and we heard some of the quotes from guys, so we know it's not even just assuming, they weren't thrilled with the way things went down with the handling of Daniel Jones.
Yeah,
but
yeah. Sal, a couple things that I've heard in the last, week or two. And now it pertains to both of our teams. One is play like a Jet, which is comical in its own right.
Right.
And the other is Giants pride.
Yeah.
Giants pride, that was the mantra. That was the moniker, Giants pride. There is none. It's gone. And if you don't think that you can reestablish it with the gentleman that you currently have, then you got to swing for something else, even though it's the last thing you want to do because you've been on this carousel for the last decade.
Don't you think, though, Dable, based on what we've seen of him and his demeanor and, his, I don't want to say his attitude, but he's got that temper, which is good. Like, the way that he coaches, which is why I believe that he could be the right guy, I do think he's a prideful guy. And I do think
he
gets it and tries to get guys to play hard, but for some reason here in year three, it's just not registering, and it has gotten worse year in, year out, and it's not just conveniently the quarterback. Quarterback play has been bad, but it's everything. There's no way the defense should have played like that yesterday. There's no way the defense should be talking like they do. The offense shouldn't be great, maybe, with the third-string quarterback in DeVito, but it shouldn't be this bad.
They had 45 yards in the first half, dude. And you would think that they were playing in 35-mile-per-hour winds and 9 inches of snow. I mean, come on. Quick one, because to me, this does encapsulate, I think, how I view Dable at this point, and I'm sure a growing list of others. What do you think are his two best traits as a coach?
I mean, that's great. Well, what's supposed to be? Well, he's supposed to be an offensive quarterback developer,
offensive number
guy.
One, and what's number two?
I mean, when you say discipline.
Yeah, but boom, you nailed him. Yeah. Those are the two. Again,
offense. From him, you would think that he should be able to keep everything in order.
For sure. Yeah, okay. For sure. Offense, I know it's getting repetitive now, but for an offensive coach, he is now in charge of the worst Giants offense in 25 years. This is not like the San Francisco 49ers offense with Jerry Rice. Like, the Giants offense has stunk many years. And even when they were good, they didn't really light it up to the tune of 30-something. It's always been a fairly pedestrian, pop-gun, predictable offense, right? It's the worst in almost three decades, but he's an offensive guy. And number two, he's a man of discipline. Yeah? Your wide receiver basically said you can't coach.
Yeah, I mean, and calling him out for multiple weeks, and he's done nothing about it.
And do you agree? Because what I'm saying there is I believe Neighbors is talking directly about Dable.
Yeah, you agree, right? Yes, you remember we had this conversation weeks ago.
Yep.
Now, it's obviously gotten worse, but I remember the first time saying, hey, I don't like that. Now, he could have nipped it in the bud. They didn't. And then it continues to get worse. Now, he's been banged up, whatever, Neighbors, but he's back out there healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And the Giants aren't getting on the ball in the first half, and he references that, and he clearly is frustrated. And he did say we're tired of losing, but, yeah, I mean, I would have liked to have seen maybe Dable's afraid to do that because of his standing in the organization right now. Maybe just similar the way Coughlin was hesitant to do it with Odell on his last legs.
A little tough to flex when the wins aren't there. That is an interesting look into human psychology. All right, Sal, it's true.
BT and Sal back on the fan. As a Giant fans and Malik Neighbors certainly feeling. Hey, multiple guys calling the team's effort soft yesterday. I mean, that is, come on. I mean, that's the most unacceptable thing possible when your team is calling out. Well, I guess they're calling out each other for being soft. Not even the head coach. Like, if Dable came out and said, look, I thought we played soft, that'd be one thing. That's on the players. But for the players, they'll be like, I thought we were soft, this and that. It has just gotten so bad with the New York Giants, and the quotes are even worse from everybody. I don't know at this point, BT, how you can make the argument. Like, you know me, I'd love to come on and make the counter argument or certainly back Dable and Shane.
Mm-hmm.
But other than saying it's not proper to evaluate a general manager in 3 years, and in my core, I believe Dable could be a good head coach. Like, what else can I base it off of?
Well, that's my point. The list of tangible items that you can check and say, all right, this is why they should stay. This is why they should stay. Like, it's dwindling down. And really, to me, I think for the most, not only, but one of the main things only that you're really hanging your hat on here is the notion that you just don't want to keep changing coaches because the Giants want to be a more consistent franchise and don't want to be that kind of franchise like, you know, like other teams like the Jets and some other bad teams. So the Giants have always stood above the pack in terms of class. I know the last 10 years have been rough, but class and just how they more Steelers than anarchy, put it that way, all right? And outside of just wanting to keep it together because you don't want to keep changing it, what else are you pointing to?
Right. The only reason can't be, well, we keep changing it so we don't want to do it again.
Yeah, but I think that's right now the only reason.
And that can't be the reason.
Uh-huh.
And even if they have a little bit of belief in this regime, I still don't think that's enough. It would have to be a lot of belief. It would have to be, look, we, and by the way, the more Saquon Barkley goes nuts, I think the more that's going to tick Mara off and be a detriment to Shane and Dable. Right or wrong, he said flat out, I'm going to be losing sleep if Barkley signs with the Eagles. Not only did he sign with the Eagles, he's one of the MVPs of the league. Now, again, I still think it was the right move to let him go, but Mara is going to be even more upset seeing that happen, and maybe that forces the issue. But it can't just be, well, we continue to change this, I don't want to change it, or I believe in him a little bit, and now I want to see what they can do for a year with a new quarterback. No, like, you either have to make the decision. I like what you said before. He's got to come out now, not after Thanksgiving and they play well or whatever it may be, or lose again. Like, he's got to come out now and say, this, we are not changing. These guys will be back next year and potentially beyond, because even if you commit to them next year, that's not enough if you take a young quarterback, which is the whole point of a new regime in today's NFL.
No, listen, the signs appear to be that the team's checking out. And when the team starts to check out, you know, it's time to do something fairly radical. And I think that coming out after you got blitzed again, embarrassed at home without running any sort of resistance, by coming out and supporting this duo, but namely Dable, more so Dable than Shane at this point, but you do it both, I guess. You know, you're sending a message, hey guys, listen, you do whatever you want, But you're putting it on film, and this guy's going to be here next year. So if you don't play hard, he sees it, and you're not going to be on the Giants.
Excellent point that he could use the vote of confidence because then it would trickle down to the players, letting them know who's in charge. Well, right now, it seems like Dable is a dead man walking, and he'll be talking in just a little bit. What time, Hoff, we got Dable?
I think 11, he said, right?
Okay.
So no, it should be any minute.
Okay, well, just let us know. Should we take a call, or you want us to wait for that?
Take a call.
How about those eggs, by the way? We got a little duck. We're celebrating. Yes. Today, so we have some stuff out there with the eggs, and there's duck and quail in them. I couldn't have it. I'm not sure if I'm allergic to it.
Really?
Yeah, and Hoff, of course, stuffing his 300-pound mouth with it.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Did I say that on the air? You know how many people last week were like, I can't believe how big Hoff is.
I was at the event on the charity event that I was at on Friday, guest bartending, and I had a couple people come up to me. Dude, you look 300 pounds. You carry it awesome. I'm like, thanks, dude. What do you want to drink? Shut up.
The eggs are good for you anyway. But yeah, I've never had duck quail eggs. But anyway, whatever it may be. Are we waiting for Dable? You want me to take a call here? Where do we at? We're minutes away?
I got a little something on Jet News real fast.
Ready to go right now.
Are Dable's good?
Yep, okay. Let's go. Go ahead.
By your guys and what becomes a public forum?
Yeah, look, these guys put a lot of work into this, as does everybody involved. And certainly not something that we wanted yesterday. We work hard every week to not have that happen, and that was a tough one. So there's frustration that comes with it, understandable. And we communicate. I think we have good leadership in our locker room. I think we communicate on a daily basis. But certainly a frustrating game, no question about it.
Malik and Dexter both called the team's play soft. How do you feel about that choice of word in describing the game?
Yeah, I thought our guys played hard. Go back and evaluate the tape. There were certain plays that you want back. We talked about some of the missed tackles that happened. Offensively, some of the negative plays, particularly in the first half. We had 17 plays, and that created some third and longs that we didn't pick up. Didn't control the time of possession. But the guys played hard. They played with effort. Just didn't do enough.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank
Jordan Renan.
Didn't do anything, really. Yeah. Forget about doing enough.
Hey, Brian.
How are you, Jordan?
I know you're saying your guys played hard.
Yeah.
What do you say to people who think that the team kind of quit on you guys there with the performance that they put out there after staying
up? Yeah. I mean, we went back. We evaluated the tape this morning. Look, we didn't play well enough. There was some things, whether it's execution stuff, call stuff, that we just didn't get the job done. But in terms of running to the football, giving effort at the line of scrimmage, those didn't stand out, Jordan. What standed out was, three sacks early on in the first half, 0-for-4 on third down, a variety of missed tackles that caused, some big plays. And the missed tackles weren't a lack of effort, missed tackles. Give Tampa Bay credit. They did a good job, and we didn't do a good enough job.
First of all, do you have any update on how Tommy's doing today?
I don't. Sorry, I don't have any update on any of these guys yet.
You expect him to be able to play on Thursday at this point?
Yeah, I got to talk to the training staff. I'm hopeful, but I don't know. I haven't talked to the training staff.
It's 3 days before the game. You didn't check in on your quarterback?
Oh, God.
I have not talked to the training staff yet. So wait until they give me the update, then we'll see where we're at. I'm anticipating he'll be ready to go.
Dan Duggan.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Dan.
You just made that case on not having issues with effort. So how do you square that with a veteran like Jermaine Illumina, who said unequivocally he saw a lack of effort yesterday?
Yeah, we're gonna watch the tape here as a group in a few minutes, and we're going to go through the plays like we normally do. And I think that, as a coach, you make the corrections that you need to make. And I think the players will see, what we see as a coaching staff.
But even if that's how the coaching staff sees it, does it concern you that a player is publicly saying he's not seeing, like, that doesn't concern you? Like, that's not something you feel like it could be an issue?
Yeah, we have good communication. We'll talk about, what Jermaine sees, and we'll talk about what we see. We'll watch it. It's right on tape. But again, I have confidence in the guys in the locker room. And again, when you lose a game like that, Dan, the way we lost, certainly everybody's frustrated.
And one last one, just with so much going on and the offense struggling, any consideration to giving up play calling?
No, we'll stay status quo here in terms of how we prepare, particularly on this short week, but certainly got to do a better job.
BT and Sal on the fan. We'll listen to Brian Daboll address the media here.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, a couple of things. At times like this with a big losing streak coming off that game, what is the inclination to stay the course versus I got to change something? You know, it's a desperate time. I got to change something. I know it's a short week, but versus we got to, you know, I believe in what we do. We got to stay the course when what you do is not working.
Yeah, it's a great question. Again, I believe in what we do. Obviously, the results have not shown themselves. I believe in the people, and you know, we'll continue to work as hard as we can. But you know, certainly, you think about, you know, things that you need to change, or whether it's plays, whatever it may be. You're always thinking, you know, what can you do to do better? And obviously, there's a lot of things you can do better.
And one more, you know, the phrase is always out there: "Lost the locker room." Right? He lost the locker room. Can you say for sure that that is not the case with you and your team right now?
Yeah, I feel good about our communication with the players, with the coaches. Certainly not happy about the results, but you know, I expect a lot from those guys, and they should expect a lot from me. And again, there's a good communication process. But when you lose like that, Paul, it's a frustrating thing.
Thank you.
Yep.
We'll take four more. Pat Leonard.
Hey, Brian, how's it going?
Morning, Pat.
Malik Nabers said the problem with the offense ain't the quarterback. He said it was the same problem when we had DJ a quarterback. He said to talk to you about the issues and about his lack of targets early. So that sounds like he's blaming the game plan, the strategy, the play calling on your end. How did you interpret those comments?
Yeah, Malik and I talked last night. We talked this morning. He's a very competitive individual. Again, you want to get the ball in his hands, and I got to do a better job of getting the ball in his hands early. And you know, he's a smart young guy that's very competitive, Pat. And again, when you lose like that, it's a frustrating thing. But we've had good communication, as we always have.
You think it's a problem that he is that he feels free to speak that freely and that critically about you, the head coach, and about the operation?
Yeah, I think, look, I'll keep our conversations private, myself and Leaks, and you know, look forward to getting ready here on Dallas.
And one quick one, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I know you're saying you don't feel like there were effort issues, but I feel like the tape speaks for itself. How do you reconcile... obviously, you want to present a good front as a leader of the team, but I mean, how do you correct the jogging and the lack of pursuit by some of these players? And how do you avoid those frustrations from happening the next time the team steps on the field?
Yeah, I think you go through the tape, you make the corrections. And again, you tag. It's not all going to be perfect, no question about it, but you tag. You know, certain plays that you want improvement, whatever area that is, technique, you know, chase the ball, whatever that may be. And again, I think, you know, it wasn't up to our standard in terms of just overall execution of play. But there wasn't, you know, let's say there's a lot of guys, Pat, that were just, you know, not giving effort. We looked at that with a fine tooth comb this morning.
Thank you.
Yep.
Bart Canizero.
Hey, Brian. I'm just curious, you know, last year you were, you know, obviously there were a lot of injuries and things went the wrong way last year, and there was a lot of praise for how the locker room did stay together and down the stretch. I'm curious, what is the trick when there doesn't seem to be any hope to message these guys that there is hope, if that makes any sense?
Yeah, no, look, you get ready to play another game, obviously, on Thanksgiving. You go through the things you got to get better at, and you know, you show confidence in your players and your staff. and you make adjustments that you need to make. And you know, look, I've got a lot of confidence in the guys in that locker room, and say we have good communication, and we're going to work to do everything we can do to make it as good as we can.
Art Stapleton.
Hey, Dave. Good morning.
Morning, Art.
You mentioned communication. I know we've talked about this the last couple of weeks, but just the idea of when you either hear the comments that were made last night from individual players or they are brought to your attention, are you surprised that you're hearing this sentiment, or is this something that you anticipate as a coach because of your conversations that you've had with the players with a continued, you know, process to be in touch with them?
Sure. Again, when you lose a game like that, Art, there's frustration. Certainly you'd like to keep it in house. But you understand, I mean, been doing this for a while, and there's conversations that you have to have, you know, if comments like that are made. And I respect the opinions of the players and of the coaches. And we'll work as hard as we can to get this fixed.
Do you feel like you can find any positives or anything to grow from or show progress with this team because of those comments and because of these opinions are being shared, maybe not behind the scenes, but publicly?
Progress to improve?
Yeah, improve this team.
Look, that's what we'll do. That's what we try to do after every game. Obviously, the results, they have been what they have been. Obviously, we got to do a lot better than that.
Makes sense.
Yep.
Last one, Tom Rock.
Brian, how do you close what seems to be a pretty big gap between what the leaders on this team continue to say and have been saying for a couple of weeks, Dex, Burns, even Malik to a certain extent, Illuminor now, between what they're saying and what the rest of the team is hearing and how they're reacting to it? Because it seems like they're saying the right things, but it's not being enacted on or heard.
Yeah, I think we all got to do a better job, Tom. That starts with me, and that's what we'll do.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. It was Brian Daboll addressing the media today. I mean, look, not a lot there, BT. I mean, I don't know what Daboll's supposed to say at this particular point, although I would like him to take a little more accountability. Instead of saying, look, you know, I don't think it was a lack of effort or this or that, we watched tape, just say, we have been getting our asses kicked. It was embarrassing yesterday, and it can't continue. And mm-hmm. I got to like something like that instead of just the same answer over and over and over again.
Yeah, I mean, if he plays the game too much, he's going to talk himself out of a job like Joe Judge did. So it's probably wise to kind of diffuse it as early as possible. But it, and this is going to sound worse than I mean it. But it just doesn't sound like he's in charge. Like he's deferring on, you know, oh, I got to look at the tape. Yeah, I get it. Tape don't lie. But half the locker room is saying you guys are soft and you can't coach. Give me a little more motion than that.
I don't recall something. A time, like the Jets haven't even done this. I don't recall a time where so many players have spoken out repeatedly week after week after week, calling the team soft, questioning the head coach. Like, there's a lot going on here.
Mm-hmm.
I'd even hear Illuminor say that, and hopefully we have the chance to ask him about that tomorrow. When did he say that, CeeLo? Do you know he said that?
About guys not giving 100%?
Yeah.
That was post-game.
Yeah.
There was a lot of stuff post-game.
Illuminor got hurt yesterday, but right, the comments from Burns and the comments from neighbors took front and center.
Let me ask CeeLo real quick, Chris. I know we got to get the update here, but you've been doing this stuff for a long time, cutting up the film, getting everything ready, and
covering the Jets.
Up the audio. I should say the Jets. You've been around this for a long time. Yeah. Was that about as raw and as disconcerting as you've heard in a long time?
Yeah, very honest. Obviously, not naming names, player on player, but I mean, even Darius Slayton said, you know, 6 years we've had guys not playing up to their potential. And that spans multiple regimes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, between the Jets and the Giants, it just seems like cycle after cycle after cycle, it's the same stuff.
What a mess.
But yeah, it's usually depressing.
Usually,
man,
you get the, you know, hey, we just got to play better, the usual, you know, nonsensical stuff. But there was a lot of bluntness post-game yesterday, that's for sure.
Which we appreciate, but yeah. it shows you that behind that curtain, it's pretty messy out there in Giants land.
I do think, though, Dable's comments about neighbors made me feel good about their relationship.
That he spoke with them already?
He said we spoke with them last night and again today. Yeah. He's good with Leak and he's got to do a better job.
It's not the first time neighbors has done this, though. I'm sure he chatted with them the first time and he still did it again yesterday.
I don't know. That's the biggest issue.
I don't think it's the biggest one issue. I don't think it's the biggest issue either, but I do think it's...
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, it shines a spotlight on probably a much bigger issue with the team.